Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, 2020, and we are reading in the Big Book on page 161, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Lois P. reading the 12 steps, Reggie O. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Elaine B., Leslie M., and Shelley E. Our newcomer greeter is Nadia B., and giving us announcements today at the end of the meeting is Robin P. The share IDs for yesterday, June 9th, the 10 a.m. East Coast time meeting is 14,777 or 14777. And for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast time meeting, the number is 14,786 or 14786. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Lois P., recovered in New York. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to food compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, Kathy, for your service, and good morning, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Lois P. Reggie O., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, thank you so much, Kathy, and good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Woodland Hills, Los Angeles area. One, these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and when you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 161, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Elaine B. to get us started. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Kathy Kay. So great to be on the line with you today, and everybody, thanks for your service. But life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals, cleaning up old scrapes, helping to settle family differences, explaining the disinherited son to his irate parents, lending money and securing jobs for each other, when justified. These are everyday occurrences. No one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially if he means business. Social distinctions, petty rivalries and jealousies, these are laughed out of countenance. Being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored under and united under one God, with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others, the things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? So again, this is Elaine B., a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Massachusetts, and grateful to share on this powerful paragraph. And this really describes, you know, we have to remember, this is before the 12 steps. This is before the 12 traditions. This is right at the beginning. And, you know, the Big Book promises that life takes on new meaning when we get into this work and things change. So we're, you know, now focusing on carrying this message to anybody, and everybody's welcome, all inclusive, never exclusive. But the key here is that if you mean business, you know, we'll help you. We want to help you. We'll do anything we can to help you with the compulsive overeating. And then once we get into that, we learn these steps, and we find out that, you know, we thought the food was a problem, but we had all kinds of problems that drove us to the food. And all the eating that we did never solved our problems. All the restricting that we did never brought us to the peace and serenity we were looking for. On the other side of that, we found those things that were eating us, or maybe we knew all along and kept going to the jug, the bottle, the bag. You know, but here now we have a fellowship and good orderly directions, a design for living that will help us really pull apart what are these things that are causing harm? What can I do? Is there anything on my side of the street that I can take care of? You know, so we'll help, you know, cleaning up old scrapes, helping settle family differences, explaining the disinherited son to irate parents, lending money and securing jobs for each other. You know, our focus has totally changed. We're united with people who may not be like us. They may have different religious practices or spiritual beliefs. They may have different, be of different races or political rank or you know, income levels or all types of different things. But just like those who were sunk on the Titanic, when they were rescued together, there's a camaraderie among them. And we have been rescued. We have been rescued from a sinking ship that was only going to bring us down into the depths. But when we come up, we have things we have to deal with. We have life to get in order. And we learn the steps that we use to do that. And then we help other people learn those steps. And we become available for outreach calls, for support, for being at meetings, for helping others. Our outlook has changed. Our solution, our joy, our peace, our purpose is no longer in a bag or a box or a refrigerator or a freezer. Now it becomes in these rooms where we can become of use to others, of others in this room trying to work the steps, working with them, and even outside these rooms, because we have a new compassion and we fit ourselves for service to God instead of food. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B., for getting us started today. Okay, although we value your experience, we are asking that you limit your share on this meeting to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Penny C.
Penny C.
Leslie M.
Leslie M.
Patty G.
Patty G.
Kara L.
Kara L. Anyone else? Okay, we'll start with these four. I'm sorry, is that someone else? Okay, Penny C., Leslie M., Patty G., and Tara L. Please share with us, Penny.
Hi, this is Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. And thank you, Kathy K., it's good to hear you. We heard on an earlier meeting today that 85 years ago today was the first day of Dr. Bob's continuous sobriety, and thus, AA celebrates its birthday today, its 85th birthday. You know, with the help of God and the all of the you people and the steps, today I celebrate 33 years of continuous abstinence. That is no less than a miracle. When I came to my first meeting, I knew nothing except about OA, except that it was free. And at that point, I was going through a very difficult divorce. I was at a very low point, and I really didn't have money to pay for any of those, you know, pay and ways or any other program to try to lose weight. And I was really not even knowing why I was there, except that I came not knowing if I meant business. But by the time I left and had heard the message, just a little bit of the message, that was that I had a disease, not I wasn't lacking self-discipline or willpower. I had a disease. And by the time I left, an hour and a half later, I meant business. You know, I got in my car, and having worked as a nurse with diabetic patients, I knew what a diabetic food plan was like. And I devised a very simple one in my head on the way home and wrote it down when I got home. And mainly it consisted of no sugar and three meals a day. That was about it. And I tweaked it and as that time went on. But that's my story for today. Today is my OA birthday. It means so much more to me than my, you know, my what people call their belly button birthday. That, with the help of God, and it's only with the help of God, I have not had to binge. I have not had sugar in any form that I know of. Since 33 years ago today, 33 years. I thought maybe I'd stay till I lost a little weight and then, I'd be gone like all the other programs I had come to. It's just amazing. And so I'm just want to say that I'm so thankful to all of you, to people like you and to my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny C., and congratulations. What an inspiration to us all, 33 years. Okay, Leslie M., it's your turn to share.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And the sentence that really stood out to me here today is, no one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially if he means business. And for me, for me, as far as being too discredited, I discredited myself in Overeaters Anonymous. I came for years and years. I was this year I'm in 30 years, but and I just celebrated recently 2 years of entire abstinence and recovery. So I was the one that was discrediting myself, but I was welcomed. I was always welcomed. But the thing is, and I thought, it says if he means business, and I thought I meant business. Each time I talked about it, I thought about it, I thought I meant business, but I didn't. Because for me now, meaning if he means business meant for me that I needed to take those actions that my sponsor was directing me to, that this book was directing me to, even when I didn't want to, even if I was afraid. It didn't matter. I needed to take these actions because these actions are what got me to a connection with a power greater than myself. And that has solved all my problems. You know, I look back and see, there are some things I thought that would never be resolved. And I look back and see that they certainly have, and now I can look back at my past and it's just history. It's facts. It doesn't have that emotional attachment to it, that shame and the guilt that I used to feel. And so I'm very grateful, it says here, being restored and united under one God with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. And, that is my goal today, to be useful to others. And the thing that it does for me is it gets me out of myself and, so that I can see the world from an entirely different perspective. And that's all I've got. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. Patty T., please share with us.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much, Kathy. And, you guys, this paragraph and these shares are just amazing. I don't know that I can add anything. But my name is Patty T., and I'm from Southern California, recovering each day by the grace of God. And, I too discredited myself. When I relapsed several years ago, I only then became aware of how large my ego was. I only then became aware of how much ego shattering work I needed to do in this program. And, you know, it was more than just cleaning up old scrapes and explaining, you know, myself to others or other people to other people and going to the meetings and, you know, being the secretary, letting that build and serve my ego. You know, it had to do with that, that inner work, that work that really involves a lot of willingness to embrace humility. You know, I was just reading in step 7 today that humility is the way in which, it's the key in which I allow God to change me. And how did I do that? I had to learn through this program, and I have over these last 2 years in a way that I never thought. I've been in this program 14 years. I can't believe how much I've learned how to find God through helping others. And helping others doesn't mean to fix them. I can't even get my head around that. Of course, I'll forget that by noon, and you'll have to remind me. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have to fix anyone, including myself. I just get to recognize my fallibility and ask God to grace me with whatever it is, compassion or open-mindedness, or willingness, or whatever it is I need to help serve His will for me. And I could not have learned that outside these rooms. I just couldn't have. I tried, and I couldn't. So I'm so grateful for being here. Thank you all. Happy birthday. Oh, my gosh, 33 years. And I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty T. And Kara L, please share with us.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. First of all, thank you for everybody that is Team Wednesday giving service today. Thank you so much. I love this paragraph. Well, I think I say that every time. But it just helps me know, like, you know, all those things that I expected that I should be doing, you know, they said, yes, we do those things, but we also, sometimes we do things that, you know, is kindness. And sometimes we do, you know, and it's cleaning up old scrapes, helping to settle family differences, explaining disinheritance. I mean, those things, you know, these are everyday occurrences. And I don't know what's best. I think that just tells me that I don't know what is best, that I need to check with my higher power about everything. You know, when in that morning I read that on awakening reading and I go through my day and I ask God, you know, I hit something in the day I don't know. I ask for intuition, for inspiring thought, for a decision, you know, and with the small things. I often say, you know, what should I wear today, God? What should I eat for breakfast? Which lipstick should I put on? You know, I put it in one hand and the choices, and I just go with what feels intuitive. And I think it's that daily checking in with my higher power on the little things. So when I get to the big things, it feels normal and natural just to check in and ask my higher power for my higher power's opinion. You know, and I love that things that I used to be concerned about, it kind of slips away. Right? You know, it says, our minds are attuned to the welfare of others. The things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. And I'm finding that more and more with me. The things that I thought were important in my life, they've just kind of slipped away. And other things have become important underneath my higher under my higher power's guidance and direction, you know. And truthfully, I don't know where my life is going and what is happening because the future is none of my business. That's up to my higher power. I get up in the morning and I give my life and my will to my higher power and I keep checking in to see, God, what do you think? God, what do you think? And that's how I move forward in my day. And my life has been taken in over the last year or two in directions I could have never imagined. I've been given so many blessings that I never imagined. You know, I don't know. I listened to a speaker early on in this program who said, I don't know for how long I'm in a sponsee's life. It might be one word, 1 week. It might be years. I don't know. So I just asked my higher power for direction. Show me how to be of service here. Tell me what you want me to do. And it happens. And I'm blessed with that. And I'll pass. Thank you, everybody. I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else says.
Thanks, you, Kara L., for your share. Okay. I can take some more names. Who else would like to share?
Lindsay A.
Maisie A.
Marilyn
Sandy
T.
K.
Okay, I heard a man's voice, something T.
Marilyn T.
Oh, Marilyn T. I'm sorry. Marilyn T.
Margo K.
Was that Stacy K?
Sandy.
Oh, Sandy K. Sorry, Sandy. Who else?
Margo P.
Margo P. Anyone else? Okay.
Amy N.
Who was that?
Amy N.
Amy N. Thank you, Amy. Is there one more who'd like to share? Okay, let's start with these. Maisie A, Marilyn, I'm sorry I didn't get your last initial, but you'll give it to me when you share. Sandy K, Margot P, and Amy N. Thank you. Maisie A, please get us started. Oh, it's Lynn. Let's see. Lindsay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Lindsay A? Let's see. Okay, Marilyn, would you like to go?
Thank you. This is Marilyn T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I really like the last two sentences the most. Being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God, with hearts and mind attuned to the welfare of others, the things which mattered so much to some people, no longer signified much to them. How could they? When I went through the 12 steps with a Vision for You sponsor, it took two times. I will be honest to say, I don't want to paint a different picture. It took two times to come to this, what I call transformation. It took once to still kind of hold on and twice to kind of let go finally of these things. So I can so relate to those last two sentences. I also had to find a higher power that was bigger than my disease, bigger than my circumstances, bigger than life, so that I could go through life on life's terms and, you know, come out the other side. And the one thing I really appreciate the most about my program is being a sponsor. I try to always keep three sponsees going. That way I can never not be in the big book. I find it really, really helps. And I find that I constantly want to grow in that relationship with my higher power and in understanding the big book in more depth. And that's the joy of sponsoring, is that I am constantly back in that book, back in that book, which is the big book of AA. I am happy for the people who came before. I am very happy for Dr. Bob and Bill W. for bringing us this, their struggles. We come in, as I've heard other people say, this is not mine. It's that we come in on the shoulders of giants, and I'm very thankful, and I give the utmost appreciation for those people that came before us who wrote this book and gave us clear-cut directions to follow. If we can just set aside all of our own prejudice and bias and really take in what it has to offer. And that's really what it's about. I love the set-aside prayer for that reason alone, is that I need to set aside all of my preconceived ideas, beliefs, and notions, and accept a whole different way of doing things, and I will be transformed. And with that, thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Marilyn. I'm going to check to see if Lindsay Kay is on the line. Okay, I guess she dropped off. Sandy Kay, please share with us.
Lindsay A?
Oh, Lindsay. Is
Thank
that
you? Thank
okay.
you.
Go ahead, Lindsay, and we'll get back to Sandy. Go ahead.
Apologies. I don't know what happened. I'm Lindsay A. I'm an anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater. And, God, to share this morning, I was going in and out of being able to focus but on the reading. But what I did pick up was just the word attuned. And, you know, being attuned to you all and your needs. Yeah, it's like I have this piano that's in my apartment and it's completely out of tune right now. I just think that, like, no matter how much I play it and pretend that it sounds okay, it really doesn't. And I don't know, the same can be applied. Like, when I'm not in prayer and when I'm not, you know, doing what I need to do for my program, I can't be helpful. I can't be helpful to anyone else, let alone myself and my recovery. So I don't know, the reading reminded me of that, and also just the idea that, like, we're all under one God. And I forget that too, like, no matter what we call our higher power or how other people talk about God, like, that doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that we are all united under that one God, whether we know it or not, whether I know it or not, you know, and I forget that all the time, every day. I forget that I don't have to struggle to make everyone else understand what I'm going through and my perspective and my perception of a higher power. I don't have to do that because the fact is we're all under that one higher power, whether we know it or not. And like, that is such a good reminder. Like, I can breathe easy knowing that. And, you know, food today, I got a month of abstinence from bulimia a few weeks ago. I kind of stopped counting, but it, you know, I feel really good. I feel free, and I'm just grateful for the program. And I think that's all I have to say. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lindsay A. Okay, Sandy K, would please share with us.
Thank you. This is Sandy K from the Fort Lauderdale area. Good to be on the line today. Really good. I appreciate everyone that's here with me. I had about 28 years of back-to-back abstinence when I lost it, and it took me two or three years to get back into recovery. I never stopped going to meetings, but it took me that long to get back into recovery. And I had gained weight, and I started losing it slowly, and I started doing a lot of service. And then last year, I had the privilege of being able to go to World Service, so face-to-face. And it reminds me of what we just read. Being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. I was in a hotel with 700 other people who had been on that same vessel and who got out and then just didn't say goodbye, you know, glad we survived, it was nice meeting you. It was, okay, now what can I do to help other people on that sinking vessel? And I'm tearing up a little bit because every time I think about it, it just brings me such joy. So even though I had been in recovery and doing service and losing the weight I had gained, something happened. Something happened at World Service, and I've heard this before, and I didn't even know what they were talking about, but God started to feed me. And not just feed my body, but my spirit. And I realized when I left World Service and I was on my way home that I had started eating differently. Not that I wasn't eating right before, but I started eating differently, and I felt like I was brought into the sunshine of the spirit. And that's only because I was surrounded by 699 in recovery souls who only wanted to do help other people. So it was an amazing experience, and it was over a year ago, but I still remember it like it was yesterday, the realization that something clicked, and I don't know what it was except my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Sandy K. Margo P., please share with us. Margo, press star 1 to unmute.
Good morning. My name is Margo P. I'm grateful to be on this call and be able to be in the gathering room of Vision for You. This paragraph tells me a lot about my recovery, that I need to pass it on, not to sit on it. That's what my sponsor told me a long time ago, pass it on. So it took me a long time to really get into recovery. I'm a compulsive overeater, Margo. I'm grateful to be here again. So being restored to sanity, and this is what the paragraph tells, and in a way is helping in being restored to sanity with this addiction. And, you know, when I came in, I didn't understand what they were talking about. And I had to learn a new language, you know, and a new understanding what the higher power was all about, getting a sponsor, what's the food plan. And being here united, it's like being united with higher power. Listen to everybody's hearing, the experience, strength, and hope. And for me to have an open mind, heart, and mind, and then attending a lot of meetings, because I did go a lot of conventions, and those conventions helped me a lot to stay focused in my recovery. And also be able to do service, helping others. And, you know, in my way of, as I was before in the program, I was all over. You know, I was crazy. I was bitter, angry, miserable, and I ate when I was happy, I ate when I was sad, I ate was all over. So today I do have a program, even though I'm back again, because it took me about now, like in 2018, coming back, and willing to continue staying, working the program, because the Vision for You, it's like an education for me with the big book. And the big book tells a lot of story. And that is where I get my recovery and hearing everybody in this gathering room to share the experience and the pain that causes this addiction. So for me, it's like listening and doing service and bringing the message. Because, you know, when someone read it, I thought they were going to say social distinction. And social distinction is like pretty rebellious and jealousy. I dealt with that. And I have to deal with that with my inventory, with my sponsor. And I'm glad that I did that. And she suggested to do a resentment prayer. And I did that beautiful resentment prayer. You know, and the things that I have learned so much, because you got to be led by others. I have to be led by others to learn, to hear the message. So thank you, not pass.
Thank you so much, Margo P., for your share. Amy N., please share with us.
Hi, this is Amy N., recovered compulsive eater in Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you so much for your service. It's awesome to be on the line today. So this passage just really reminds me of coming into program. I felt like I had a perception of how to live life that was literally totally opposite of what was actually effective in living life. And it was almost like I had been like walking on the ceiling or something, like totally flipped upside down and thinking that it was right side up. And it didn't make any sense to me, the things that my sponsor said to do, but I was so desperate for any kind of reprieve from the insanity in my mind. I had no idea what serenity even meant or what it would even feel like. But I did it anyway because I was just so desperate. And all of a sudden it was like I started to see that I was upside down, and the things that actually were beneficial and would lead me to that happy, joyous, and free life, I started to see is actually making sense. And it totally just reminds me that like I have to not only work the steps in order to find that relationship with that power greater than me, but additionally, once I've been given that incredible freedom and start to actually see what truth is, that had been so opposite of the way that I had been living before, I now need to give it away in order to keep it. And my sponsor told me, it's like when I came in, she would talk about working with another compulsive eater as being the magic wand of recovery. And it was kind of, it's interesting because I guess that's been my experience, that when I work with another compulsive eater and give away the gift that I've been given, there's something completely incredible and magical about it, and is better than, yeah, than anything. So I'm just really reminded today of the fact that even to see that my thinking was messed up, I had to have a power greater than myself to unveil that to me, to show. It was almost like, I guess, my eyes had been clouded and all of a sudden I could see what I couldn't see before. So yeah, I'm just really grateful that this is finally that step-by-step guide, the big book about how to live life that I thought I had missed.
That's time.
Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy. And we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Hi, Michelle. This is Lisa E.S.
Okay, I heard
Franny,
Michelle,
Franny K.
And Lisa. Sorry, yeah. Franny, I don't think we'll have time.
It's
Michelle,
okay, thank you.
Please go ahead and give us your last initial. Thank you.
Michelle G. from Boston.
Okay, thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Kathy. This is Michelle G., recovered compulsive eater from Boston. Let me put on my glasses. I'm glad you heard me. So I was first, the paragraph where the sentence where it says, and a couple people have talked about it, restored and united under one God, with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. I realize how much I've stopped fighting, and I'm thinking about the 10-step promises where it says we have ceased fighting anything and anyone, even liquor. And I'm thinking, you know, I cease fighting God. So where it says united under one God, you know, there's a little piece of me still tiny, tiny that still bristles when I see that. Because for my whole life, I was just so, you know, anti your God and what, you know, people telling me what I should believe. And, but I've softened so much and I can see that now. And I see in this paragraph that so much of it was around fear. I had so much fear that because I was bulimic, I was different. But this really tells us in just a few words that, you know, I share a common problem with all my sisters and brothers on this line, that no matter what body size I come in, and And, you know, whether I'm sticking my fist down my throat or whether I'm not eating or whether I'm, you know, over, you know, 200 pounds more, whatever it is, it's that sickness in my heart. I was just so dead and so sick between my ears and so sick in my heart. And that's where I share that common problem. And then we also share this common solution. And that was another thing. It's like, well, you know, if you have this God and this religion and I don't belong to it, then I don't belong with you. And then I'm out. And so again, that fear of like, I'm not going to belong and that I'm going to be alone. And, but at this point I have been restored to some sort of sanity where I see that I, you know, in all the gentleness through this book where I am encouraged to find something that I can check in with and I can tune in with some being, some essence, some something that is greater than myself that will restore me to sanity. And it used to be, you know, go outdoors, G-O-D, because God was out there for me. But, you know, with this lockdown and with this just current state of the nation, and I have to say that when I was reading this, I saw, what did I see? Social distinctions. I saw social distancing when I read that. But you know, with now I just lost my train of thought. All right, I think I'll pass with that. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Michelle G. And Lisa, would you give us your last initial when you share? Thank you. Press star 1, Lisa, to unmute.
Hi, so sorry about that. This is Lisa E.S. in Northern California, recovered compulsive eater. So grateful to be on this call today and hear everyone share. I think the thing that really stuck out for me, as many people have talked about, is this idea of being wrecked in the same vessel. And when I think about that, it's that, you know, we all came from a seemingly hopeless disease, a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And that when we work these steps or the instructions that are laid out for us in this big book, we actually get to be restored to sanity, to be recovered. And this idea of being united under one God, for me, that's the God that can restore me to sanity. And it doesn't have to be the God of someone else's religion, but that all of us have this power greater than ourselves, whatever that is. And again, it could be agnostic, atheist, something bigger than ourselves that essentially helps restore me to sanity around the food problem. One of the things that I've been just so aware of is that, you know, when I'm in service, whether it is taking a call, making a call, and I've heard others say this as well, no unique thoughts here, is that I get out of myself. And like, that's a miracle, right? Like, this is a very self-centered compulsive eater that's talking right now. But every time that I'm of service, I feel such a gift of joy and peace instead of the stuff that normally goes around in my brain. And so this idea of that we're going to be attuned to the welfare of others, that these things that used to matter. So if I think about the state of our, you know, country or the, you know, divisiveness, all of those things matter to me outside of the rooms. But in the rooms, I'm learning slowly that they don't matter. And as I connect with people all over the country, I don't know what their political beliefs are, but I do know that we have this common affliction and that we can be of service to one another. And that is a miracle. And it's allowing me to love and to think about people in a very different way. And for that, I'm truly grateful. Because if I go around with my resentments or my opinions around this or that, then how can I even be of service? So very grateful, super excited to start sponsoring, finished step 12 yesterday. So I made a commitment to start announcing myself as a sponsor and also trying to share once in a while. So with that, thank you again for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Lisa E.S., and thank you to everyone who shared and listened today. What a lovely meeting. Thank you to Lois P., Reggie O., Elaine B., Leslie M., and Shelley E., Nadia B., and Robin P. for helping me lead this meeting. And I hope you will join me now in saying the Serenity Prayer. Please press star 1 to unmute. God.
Yeah.
God,
grant me the
strength,
Great meeting. Thank you.
Wonderful meeting. Thank you.